This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kawhi is allowed to do the Kawhi laugh because yes, he is indeed Kawhi. And expectedly, he has opted out of his deal to become an unrestricted free agent. And now we'll watch what happens. Here to talk about all of it with us is Brian Geltzeiler at Hoops Critic on Twitter, SiriusXM. You can hear him there as well. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Geltzy, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How we doing?
Well, good. Before we get into Kawhi and his future, what was your take on how the Bulls handled the draft? They're going to be unveiling their two new guys today in Daniel Gafford and the first-round pick, Coby White.
I was very happy with the Bulls draft. I think they lucked out a little bit. I mean, to me, if you're the Phoenix Suns, and I'm a big Dario Saric fan, I'll start there. But to me, if you're the Phoenix Suns, how you can be so point guard starved and trade out of a pick that could have gotten you Coby White is a very hard thing for me to fathom. I don't understand how they could have done that. But the Bulls sat there and the guy that they wanted was there, and they grabbed him. And I think White's going to be a very good NBA player. He's a good kid. He's a hardworking kid. He's really come a long way in his year in college and in showing who he can be on a floor. He's got some good size for a guy that can handle the way he is. He's not necessarily your distribute first kind of lead guard, but I think he can be an excellent lead guard in the NBA. And I think for the Bulls here, who have struggled that position, and let's face it, Chris Dunn's not been who they thought he was going to be. I kind of feel like at this stage of the game, I think the Bulls did really, really well here.
What's the best way for Jim Boylan to work with Coby White to make a 19-year-old point guard who excels in transition but not so much the half-court sets into the player the Bulls need him to be? Is that adding another point guard? Is that, you know, making Chris Dunn have the first time around the league? What needs to be done here, Geltzy?
Well, I think, first of all, I like how they're coming in here, which is from moment one, the two of these guys are going to compete for playing time. And I think Chris Dunn needed somebody to drive him that the organization was invested in. And I think having Dunn there is going to be very good for Coby White because nothing is going to be handed to him. I think you'll probably see Dunn command more minutes early on as White starts to get more comfortable. And I think a bench role early on will probably be where all this settles. And listen, Dunn's looking to get paid also. So there's a lot of urgency there as well. But I do think the competitive atmosphere is going to be fine for them. And ultimately, for Coby White to earn minutes, we know he's a good offensive player, and he's going to be a good offensive player in the NBA. His defense wasn't always wonderful in college, and we know what Jim Boylan's going to ask him. So that, to me, is going to be the huge thing, is how far can he come and how long defensively, and that's going to be, and that kind of work, and a lot of that isn't necessarily what you're going to do physically or athletically. A lot of that is awareness-based. A lot of that is mental, and that's the kind of stuff I think they have to work with Coby White on.
How does Zach LaVine fit in all this? Because that's always, to me, when you start describing someone as a lead guard, we can say what we want and call these positions what they are. There's still one ball, and there are still multiple young players who really want to score.
Yeah, you know, listen, Zach LaVine is going to do exactly what Zach LaVine has done in the past here. Zach LaVine's going to be a main offensive option, if not your lead offensive option. He's a very talented offensive player. So LaVine's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and you're going to see a lot of that. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think that takes pressure off a kid like Coby White. Listen, I think it takes a little bit of pressure off Chris Dunn as well. And I think Dunn's ability to function with LaVine, considering LaVine's under contract here, is going to be a very big key in what happens next in Chris Dunn's career. So Zach LaVine gets to be Zach LaVine. Where I have concerns for Zach LaVine and where he bothers me a little bit is I just think a guy with his level of athleticism should be a much better and more effective defensive player than he is. And that, I'm not looking for progress at the offensive end from him, because the kid's a player, man. He's a shot maker. He is somebody that can get to the basket off the bounce. The fact that he had that knee injury hasn't really seemed to affect him at all athletically. He's a good catch and shoot guy. I mean, LaVine's a gifted offensive player. But to me, I want, if this guy's going to develop into a legit star in this league, he needs to learn how to guard people a little bit. And again, as I said with White, where it's awareness-based and it's mental, I think a lot of that with Zach LaVine is also, and I think there's a gross lack of discipline on the defensive end of the floor in how Zach LaVine defends. He's not a good team defender. He's a guy that over-gambles at times. He's not in the right places. This is stuff that Zach LaVine's going to have to learn if he's going to take that next step to be a legit star player on a successful team in this league.
Talk about hoops with Brian Geltzeiler, who is at Hoops Critic on Twitter. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 9 to noon here on The Score. Brian, do you think the Bulls view any of their players as untouchable?
No, and I don't think they should. I mean, I think that if the right deal came along, I think they'd be willing to put anybody in. And I do think the Bulls have some issues here coming into this year regarding what they're going to do defensively. I worry about Larry Markkanen on the defensive end of the floor, and he's a very important piece to what they're going to do in the future. At the time, I was kind of lukewarm on the Porter deal. I've come around to it a little bit because I do think they need what he offers on the defensive end of the floor. I think that Chris Dunn is a very good defensive player in this league, and if he can make some strides offensively, they'll be able to roll some good defensive players out. Wendell Carter got hurt early in the season and missed a big chunk of the year last year. Wendell Carter, to me, can be a premier defensive player in this league. So I think for them, nobody's untouchable. If the right deal comes along, they would trade for somebody. By the same token, I also think the mix that they've put together for this year is upgraded and better than last year. And I'll tell you this about the Bulls. Under Fred Hoiberg with these young players, there was zilcho identity. And I know there were issues with Jim Boylan early, and there was a practical mutiny in his first week on the job. But this management team, who you guys know, I come on with you all the time. Yep. I've been very critical of this management team up and down the line, Paxson and Foreman, et cetera. They did a really good job standing behind Jim Boylan. And now what's happened, because they were able to do that, and everybody knows who's in charge here, and Boylan has management and ownership backing, he actually can establish the kind of identity he wants for this team. So I do see strides of moving in the right direction here for the Chicago Bulls.
What does Kawhi Leonard want?
To win. He wants to win. He wants to make sure whatever organization he's going to be associated with is going to manage his health correctly, of which he has had a proactive role in Toronto and will have a proactive role. And he wants to live where he wants to live. And that's the bottom line. Kawhi Leonard is not it's not complicated with him. It's health, it's winning, and it's being happy, and being happy where he wants to live. And that's really the criteria of what comes down to what he's going to do. And some of the stuff you hear about, the Lakers feel like they could be in the mix to bring him in. Kawhi doesn't join super teams. He beats them. That's the brand. Okay, he's the dynasty killer. He beat the Heatles. Now he beat this Golden State team. This is what Kawhi does. Kawhi doesn't jump on board with these teams. Kawhi either stays where he is or goes somewhere where he can take these teams down. And let's face it, three players in the history of the sport have won finals MVPs on two separate teams: Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard doesn't have to go join anybody. So that's it. It's simple, guys. Health, winning, happiness.
So Toronto seems to have two of those three. I'm buying what you're selling, which means the only thing to figure out is how much Kawhi enjoyed living in Canada, yeah?
Yeah, and again, I still believe, and I've believed all along, that Kawhi, come next week, that we're going to see Kawhi sign a four-year max deal. We're probably an opt-out for the last year with the Los Angeles Clippers. I believe that from the jump. I still believe that. I know about the Chris Haynes report yesterday. But I do think what the Raptors have done here with him earns them some consideration. Mm-hmm. It does. They've done a fantastic job up and down the line. But I also don't think, when you look at this Kawhi Leonard situation, I don't think you can underrate the importance of the Sai Ujiri's wanderlust and the fact that his name was in Washington rumors, and there's a general prevailing thought around the league that he's probably not long for Toronto. And so I think, Kawhi is going to look out. The thing about Kawhi, as fun as he had in Toronto, as great as all this is a business decision. It's not an emotional or a sentimental one. And I think he's going to look at this and say, where am I best off personally and professionally for the next 4 to 5 years to be able to ply my craft, stay healthy, and enjoy my life? And I just don't, listen, I'm not ruling the Raptors out. To me, it's a two-horse race between the Clippers and the Raptors. And if the Raptors ended up keeping them, I wouldn't be totally shocked, but I'd be a little shocked. I still think that at this stage of the game, he's the Clippers to lose. Now, I will also say this. What happens in those meetings is going to matter. Those meetings are not ceremonial. What happens in those meetings is going to matter. Kawhi Leonard's going to be in there, and he's going to be listening to hear what kind of plan these teams are going to put together to keep, maintain, or put him in a situation where he can, every single year, annually, compete for titles.
In what order are things going to happen? Is there going to be one sort of cardinal event that has to happen before other things happen, or are they independent of each other?
I don't know that there's a lot. Listen, I think Kawhi exists in a vacuum, and I mean that this way, is I don't know necessarily that he's worried about joining anybody else. So I do think when it comes to that, he probably is a little bit separate than everything, but the Durant-Kyrie stuff to me is extremely compelling because when one of those dominoes falls, odds are the other one comes right after it. And I think it's going to be a situation where, you know, Kyrie would love to be able to go somewhere where Kevin Durant could join him. He could jump and try to do that with Brooklyn and maybe put a little pressure on Durant to go join him there. I do think Durant is probably going to wait to see where Kyrie Irving lands before he makes a decision. I also, and if you had asked me this before the injury, I would have said it was not going to happen. I wouldn't totally rule out Durant staying in Golden State. I think when you look at this injury and how it affected Durant, I think there was it lended some perspective to him regarding what has been in Golden State, who these people have been to him, how they've treated him. And listen, they started sometime February and March treating this as a farewell tour for Durant with the thought that our only chance to keep him is to be supportive of him, and we want to show him appreciation. And in the end, if we showed him appreciation on the way out the door, well, that's how we want to handle ourselves. But it also gives them the best chance to keep him. And I think it was a smart strategy. Now with the injury in place, and you can't underrate how important the Golden State here, the opening of the Chase Center is. When they first put all the money into this building and got ready to open this building, no one figured that you weren't going to have Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant on the court to start the season next year. But that's going to be the situation in opening a brand new building to potentially keep interest and energy and, more importantly, people feeding money into that building with luxury suites and premium seats and all that stuff. Having Kevin Durant on that roster with the knowledge he's going to come back and he's on a long-term deal is going to help that a heck of a lot. So I wouldn't rule that out. With that said, I think it's a two-horse race for him. Also, I think it's between the Golden State Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets, assuming the Brooklyn Nets decide to side Kyrie Irving without the guarantee that Durant is coming.
Not a lot of Lakers conversation in this. Are they the dog that finally caught its tail? Like, do they have a plan for after having acquired Anthony Davis?
Listen, they want to go chase Kawhi Leonard. I don't believe that's not a place he wants to be. As I said earlier, he beats these dynasties. He doesn't join them. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll chase a couple more big fish. I think they'll chase Jimmy Butler. I think they'll chase Kemba Walker. But they don't have the full max to be able to give them. And in the end, I don't know if that's a smart strategy either. I think they're better off filling this whole thing out with role players. The thing you got to remember about the Lakers is that you don't just trade for Anthony Davis and have everybody forget all the dysfunction that just went on and just happened. Short of the Anthony Davis trade, this has been a very, very embarrassing offseason for the Lakers. And by the way, the draft was just over with. Like, there's a lot of offseason left here for them to be embarrassed further. So when you look at the Lakers and what they can do in terms of some of these star players, yes, they were able to trade for Anthony Davis. I don't know that anybody's running there. It's tough playing with LeBron, man. When you play with LeBron, if you win, it's because of LeBron. If you lose, it's because of the bums around him. It's not an easy thing to be involved with, and I do think you end up seeing them fill out with role players that they're going to have to overpay a little bit instead of bringing in another star player. I think the Lakers, the cachet of the Lakers is really worn off league-wide, and the only ones that aren't aware of that at this stage are the Lakers.
Geltzy, thanks. Great stuff, man.
Thanks, Brian.
Always my pleasure, guys.
That is Brian Geltzeiler. He is on Twitter at HoopsCritic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.